Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And Alistair, I want to talk to you about a guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, a really special guy.
Time for guy talk.
Yeah, this is guy talk.
Okay. It's
a humble guy who fought a big cow. You're going to find out all about that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Guy of Warwick.
Guy of Warwick.
This guy. Hello there, Alistair. Beckett King.
Hello, James. Shakeshaft.
Sit down. I've been expecting you.
Take a seat.
I've been expecting you. No, this is my office.
Wait. Whose house are we in?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I think it's my office.
I don't know.
You can't. You have to yes and. You can't make it your office. I just said come in.
We're doing the worst kind of improviser. It's not yes and. It's neither yes anding and not no butting. It's just what?
What?
Hey, what?
This is the kind of in-sync banter that people really compliment the podcast for.
It is.
You guys bounce off each other so well in a completely repelling each other kind of way.
Like two bouncy balls in a small box. Just and confusion.
Just doing their own thing.
First of all, I'd like to share with you something that I learned this weekend
from
my children via their grandma. Turns out there's a plant called Stinking Willy.
All right.
Yeah, it's a ragwort. Ragwort?
Ragwort. And that's Stinking Willy?
A.K.A. Stinking Willy.
Wow.
It's a flower. It's spelled W-I-L-L-I-E.
Of course.
Which tones down some of the...
I should hope so. Thank you.
Unsurprisingly known as the Jacobaea vulgaris.
Yes.
Because ever so rude. Stinking Nanny, Stinking Nilly.
Why are you bringing nannies into this?
I don't know. And the dog standard.
The dog's standard?
A dog standard. That's quite rude to dogs.
That's the newspaper, isn't it? That's the newspaper or the latest canine news. Cost of bones has gone up again. Then to a human, bring me my pipe and slippers. A human lopes off.
Gets hit by the newspaper for dragging itself across the carpet.
The human is doing that?
Yeah.
Oh dear, what's he eating?
He's rolled in another human's poo. But that's pretty rude on dogs that a dog standard
the dog
is the
standard
same as a stinking willy. It is poisonous to horses and cows, by the way.
Thank you for the warning.
And fairies probably used it as a form of transport to get to Ireland. There's a mixture here of
right,
fact and folk.
All right, okay. A form of transport. How? Using the petals of the flower like a helicopter?
Donald McAllister on the Isle of Arran, I love Arran, said that's how they picked a plant, sat astride it, and arrived in Ireland in an instant. So, yeah. Sort of the Concorde of the fairy world.
That's very fast.
Mm. But, Alistair, I'm not here to tell you about Stinking Willies.
No, okay.
No, I want to tell you about a guy.
Yeah.
A very special guy. Guy of Warwick.
Mm.
Do you know much about Guy of Warwick?
I don't know anything about Guy of Warwick. Is he one of the Frenchy ones, so it should be like Guy de Warwick? Or is he... from a different period altogether.
I think the name did come over with the Normans. His stories...
who don't sound that French, but were.
Yeah. He's one of the Knights of Yore.
Oh, yeah?
His stories are sort of written down in the 1300s to 1600s. That's when he was kind of quite famous.
He didn't write them down over that 300-year period.
No. In the late 17th century, Dugdale wrote them down. That's the guy's surname.
Dugdale.
He's not Dugdale.
Oh, I thought he was Dugdale. I thought he was an American sports commentator.
Or every dad from Neighbours. Sir William Dugdale was...
nicknamed Stinking Willy Dugdale.
he was a historian and whatnot, but he was already in the past.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to say that again.
It seems weird when you see historians that lived in the 1600s, like, that's history times.
A lot of it was guessing back then. I've read history books from that time, and they were like, wizard came to town.
Well, yes, that brings us to Guy. So Guy of Warwick is one of the tales that makes up the Matter of England, which is, it seems that matters were like a sort of a triptych of combined historical works from the past.
Right.
So, like, there's the Matter of King Arthur, which is all about King Arthur stuff. The Matter of Charlemagne, which is
about Charlemagne business. Yeah.
Paladins and whatnot. And then a Matter of Greek and Roman stuff, which is like return of the Greek myths, basically. And then there's the matter, separately, there's the Matter of England, which is a bit, there's no real agreed list and there isn't like a through line. So it's a bit sort of cobbled together. And the names of those stories are great. These are the ones that they're broadly agreed to make up the Matter of England. Athelstan, Bevis of Hampton, Guy of Warwick, Hornchild or King Horn.
Okay.
Which we're definitely going to come to one day. Fulke Fitzwarren. Ooh. Or Fulke Fitzwarren, Gamelin, Havelok the Dane, Richard Coeur de Lion and Waldef.
Wow. Richard Curtis's Lion.
Yeah. They have names reminiscent of, I think, early computer games.
Yeah, yes, me. Lord British, the Kingdom of Daventry and so on.
Gamelin, Waldef. Oh, I keep losing on the first level of Havelok the Dane.
Oh, the Leon got me again. Like a lion. I'm imagining it's a lion.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Even the name, the Matter of England, is an odd name. It makes it sound like he's found it difficult to broach. Like it's a house meeting.
Yes. Yeah, he's like, he's done okay. A big inhale through his teeth before.
Well,
so, to the Matter of England.
Yes. I clearly wrote on the whiteboard that Wales was mine.
Yeah. See, I buy 16 loo rolls at a time. But I'm noticing you're bringing them individually, already started, and it's the same brand that they have in the pub. Take
those, me for those pub ones though are massive, so that's really good value.
Yeah, that is good value, but they don't fit on the.
You should be thanking me.
They don't fit under that woman's crochet dress, Nan. As a callback to your Nan.
Yeah, my Nan would be furious.
She did have the big one for the Hoover.
She would have had to use the Hoover one. Yeah.
For loo roll. Yeah. So Guy of Warwick. So let me cite my sources. It's a wonderful book called Folklore: Old Customs and Superstitions in Shakespeare Land, which is a sort of cutesy way of referring to Warwick. It's not a probably rubbish theme park. By J. Harvey Bloom, MA, on FSG.
Oh.
Don't know what that means. Should have looked it up.
Yeah.
We can but guess. But it would involve swearing.
MA, Master of Arts. I guess that's on honourable. The honourable arts, not the dishonourable arts. So not necromancy.
Not media studies. He also is the author of Shakespeare's Garden, The Griffins of Dingley, and English Seals, etc. And it's literally only on that reading there that I've realised he's talking about, like, coats of arms type stuff. Genuinely. All day I've been picturing something with way more rainbow balls. It's... As he outlines in his foreword, so this was compiled in 1929, and he was talking to like the oldest people he knew in Warwickshire.
Shakespeareland. You're saying Lund to make clear that it's not a theme park.
Yeah.
I'd go to Shakespeareland.
Yeah.
Yeah, get your picture taken with the skull.
Yes.
From Hamlet.
Yeah.
Get signatures of the three witches from Macbeth and other things from other plays.
Yes.
But you'd be like, the only person in the costume is like Timon of Athens. Like, who are you? Don't even know who you are.
Are you Julius Caesar? No.
I'm Timon of Athens, but I'm not supposed to talk.
It's not pronounced Timon like Simon. It's like Timon and Pumbaa, which is based on a different Shakespeare play.
Yeah, that is quite annoying that he's called Timon, but it's got nothing to do with that play.
Yeah. Is there a Pumbaa in Shakespeare? Is he one of the gentlemen of Verona? I bet in the gift shop you'd be able to get like those sort of squidgy eyes that'd be like the guy from King Lear that gets his eyes out.
Oh, yeah, Gloucester, I think.
Yeah, Gloucester.
Yeah, you could get just maybe a bouncy ball.
Mm.
Doing in the shape of Gloucester's
and
eyes.
To, I think this is overlapping with some Shakespeare merch that we came up with beforehand, which was the Coriolanusol, amongst other things.
I forgot about Coriolanusol. Yeah, yes, so there'd probably be a small pharmacy.
Yeah, and you'd be able to get some Clearasil out damn spot.
is that brand new to this episode? That is,
I hope, brand new. And wow. I haven't lost my mind so much that I've forgotten that I did that pun, because I'm very proud of it. Well, anyway, just as a little sidebar, this one of the chapters in this book is children's complaints.
They do complain, don't they?
Don't they? No, it's things that you would do to help kids' illnesses get better.
Oh, complaints, I see.
Yes. So, the first teeth of children, whether falling out naturally or removed, should be sprinkled with salt and burned. Do you want to know why?
Go ahead.
Because if by chance a dog ate one, then the new tooth would be a dog's tooth. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm.
You need to be prepared. Also, a milk tooth after it had dropped out should be placed in a mouse's hole, for then the new tooth would be as small as that of a mouse's.
Well, hold on, make up your mind.
Why do you want a small
It should
mouse?
Be placed in it. Why would you want a very small tooth? A
tiny mouse. You wouldn't want a mouthful of mouse teeth.
What if the dog ate the mouse after the mouse ate the tooth?
Oh, my God. Great questions all. Unfortunately, this book is nearly 100 years old. We're never going to find out.
No.
Also, a little rhyme about sneezing.
Please, go ahead.
Are you a Molto sneeze guy?
Like the people who go, choo, 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 choo. Those people. No, not me. I'm one and done.
Okay, so there's a couple of songs. One for wishing, two for kissing, three for a shocking bad cold. And then sneeze on a Monday, sneeze for danger. Sneeze on a Tuesday, kiss a stranger. Sneeze on a Wednesday, have a letter. Sneeze on a Thursday, something better. Sneeze on a Friday, sneeze for sorrow. Sneeze on Saturday, see your lover tomorrow. And if you sneeze on Sunday, you will be a wicked person all the rest of the week.
Ooh.
Kind of gets a bit harsh at the end.
Mm. Kiss a stranger?
Mm-mm. Yeah. While you're sneezing. I mean, this is definitely pre-COVID. If you do have a cold, just put some onion in your socks. Okay.
Was that the sound of you closing the book?
Yep.
There, literally, we've closed the book on that issue.
No further questions.
Yep. Put an onion in your sock.
But, Alistair, none of that has got anything to do with this guy, Guy of Warwick. So, the story of Guy of Warwick. I think he deserves a bit more focus than I'm going to give him now. I'm just going to tell you a little escapade of his.
Okay.
Just as a bit of backstory, he's the son of a steward, and he fell in love with the Earl of Warwick's daughter, Lady Felice, but he was of too low a standing. So the Earl knighted him, but she was like, yeah, you kind of need to prove yourself. So he goes off a knighting, slays dragons, boars, Germans. And in today's story, a big cow. Oh, and also, if you go to Warwick Castle, they've got his sword, fork, porridge pot, which is like this massive cauldron.
How much porridge does one guy need?
He liked his porridge.
You're telling me? Look at the size of that pot. No wonder he had the slow release energy he needed to fight a cow.
A big cow.
A big cow. Straight over dragons to go for the cow. I can see your mind working there, James. You're like, Alistair won't be impressed with a dragon.
No, he wouldn't hear about a big cow.
A big cow.
There's a narwhal's tusk at Warwick Castle as well, and that was said to have been the rib of the dun cow. It's a dun cow, by the way.
Oh, a classic dun cow.
This cow was 6 yards long and 4 yards high.
Well, I don't really know how long a yard is, but I'm guessing from your tone of voice that it's large.
It's a bit bigger than a UPS delivery truck.
Wow.
And the same colour, brown. It's a big brown cow.
Yeah.
And it was a savage beast when it comes into this story, roaming Dunsmore Heath, which is where it gets the name, Dunsmore Heath, because there was the dun cow was there and it was more than another cow, I guess.
I'm not convinced at all by that explanation of the origin of the name, but please continue.
Or it was just the moor area. I want to give you a little bit of backstory on the old dun cow.
It sounds a little bit like the Derby ram, but that was a ram.
He also killed a boar. He'd kill anything if it was massive. Dun cow, also known as the Tiffmo. So it was a savage beast that roamed Dunsmore Heath, which is near Rugby in Warwickshire. the origin story was that the cow belonged to a giant in Shropshire and its milk was inexhaustible.
Mm.
And people would come up, get the milk from the cow, go away. There'd always be enough milk for everyone. And then a witch came along with a sieve.
Okay.
And tried to fill the sieve. And she just kept milking and milking and milking until the cow was milked dry. And then it flew into a rage and started roaming around. It would terrify the neighbouring places, destroying the cattle, hurting and killing many that went about to destroy her. She was beyond the ordinary size of other cattle, 6 yards in length, 4 high, with large sharp horns and fiery eyes of a dun colour.
Fiery brown eyes.
Mm, yeah, that sounds like, that sounds like a euphemism.
Mm, I'm not defending the killing of villagers. Let me say that up front.
Go on.
Mm. But I understand why the cow would be angry after being milked dry by a witch with a sieve.
Yes.
Why would you do that? Because you're not getting the milk. It's a sieve. It's just sheer villainy.
The witch was there to wind up the cow.
Yeah, you are taking the mickey.
Yeah.
You come to an inexhaustibly milky cow with a sieve.
Yes.
What?
It reminds me of a time at a buffet.
Did a similar thing happen to you, James?
Yes. You'd get your carton to take away, like a, you know, your classic sort of metal takeaway carton.
Yeah.
And these guys came in and they built up the sides of it using prawn toasts.
Oh.
To increase the capacity of their lunch, the literage.
It's ingenious.
They to be honest, they're on them in a flash. I think they'd seen this before.
It's prawn toast. We've got a prawn toast situation.
Swoop in. They're trying to extend. They're trying to extend the sides to build up the sides. They're builders. They know what they're doing.
But even then, I believe that those gentlemen wish to eat the extra.
I think they would have ate it. I think they wouldn't. They wouldn't have wasted it.
They would not have allowed to fall barren on the ground. Barren's not really the right word there, but still.
Mm.
They would not have been like that witch.
No.
Just sprinkling it away through a sieve.
Yeah, that's true.
Or colander. I've been visualising a colander, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's been a colander for me as well.
I don't know that they had sieve technology in those days.
It's less of a leap than for the seals' realisation of earlier, but a colander to a sieve is... I get angry when the sieve is used as a colander. By the way, I must have mentioned this before.
No, I didn't know that about you.
Oh,
it's wildly out of character.
They are two different items. They may share a form and a few key touch points, but they are different. Mm-hmm. They're different tools for different jobs. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
What would you do? What would you do if I drained some fusilli in a sieve?
I would.
What's going to happen? Is the starch going to go up the little holes?
It is, actually.
Is it?
It's very difficult to clean a sieve.
Have you got any secrets?
No.
Because your classic Shake Shack life hack for cleaning a whisk the water.
Yeah, whisk
can
the
you
water.
Sieve? You can't sieve water. It's the one thing that can't be sieved.
No, I'd be like a witch trying to anger a cow.
I hate cleaning a sieve. I find myself stabbing at the sieve with the little brush head, hoping that the bristles prong through the holes, clearing them of any debris.
Oh, no, I invert the sieve and just sort of rub the back of it with my hand, hoping that I'm pushing enough water into it.
You're doing nothing there.
Yeah.
You're just caressing a sieve.
I've got no hack for a sieve. If anyone's got any sieve cleaning hacks, please write in.
Yeah, send them our way.
Definitely. I'll pass them off as my own at a later date. So this...
So that's where the cow came from. It was absolutely furious when it saw someone using a sieve to drain pasta.
That is the dun cow's origin story, yes. And so, oh, by the way, the legend of the dun cow is unknown before the mention of it by Dr. Caius in his book De Rariorum Animalium Historia Libellus.
Ooh, the libellous history of animals.
Sounds like it.
You don't want to know what we claim these monkeys did.
And Dr. Caius writes in his, I don't know if we should be repeating this libel, in 1570, I met with the head of a certain huge animal, of which the naked bone, with the bone supporting the horns, were of enormous weight, and as much as a man could well lift. Of this kind, I saw another head at Warwick in the castle AD 1552. There is also the vertebrae of the neck of the same animal, of such great size that its circumference is not less than 3 Roman feet 7 inches and a half. I think also that the blade bone, which is to be seen hung up in chains from the north gate of Coventry, belongs to the same animal in the chapel of the great Guy, Earl of Warwick.
Great guy.
At Guy's Cliff, there is hung up a rib of the same animal.
Great guy.
Great guy. Some of the common people fancy it to be the rib of a wild boar killed by Sir Guy. Some the rib of a cow which haunted a ditch near Coventry and injured many persons. The last I take it to be nearer the truth, since it may be the bone of Bonassus or Udus.
Oh, sorry, Bonassus?
Bonassus. I looked that up. That is the European bison.
Oh.
And Udus, I looked that up. That's a type of Lamborghini. From 2009.
Right. A bison in a car.
Yeah.
Deadly.
The bison in a sports car.
Oh, let's hope he doesn't seek his vengeance against man.
So, do you want to hear how he killed it?
Yeah, so just to be clear, those bones are believed to be the bones of the big angry cow, the dun cow, by the common people.
Yes.
But they might also be a bison in a sports car.
Bison, sports car, narwhal.
Narwhal. Yeah, possibly a narwhal.
The three major food groups.
Yeah, all right. I'm on board.
So an 18th century chapbook tells the story thus.
It's just a book for chaps. I hope that isn't offensive to anyone, but this is just for chaps now.
It's just for chaps.
It's just for chaps. This is Guy of Warwick. It's not Gal of Warwick.
The king, hearing of the dreadful havoc this beast made, offered knighthood to any that should overcome this dun cow. Guy, who was thought to be far beyond the sea, privately arming himself with a strong battle axe and his bow and quiver, made his way towards the place where this monster was, and, approaching near the den, he beheld upon the heath the sad objects of desolation. The carcasses of men and beasts she had destroyed. Guy, no whit daunted at that, pursued on his way. Till such time she espied Guy, staring with her dreadful eyes at him and roaring most hideously. Those are the fiery brown eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I respect to him for arming himself privately.
Yes.
So the cow didn't get tipped off that someone was coming.
He didn't do it in a montage sequence.
Yeah, it was more of a chunk, chunk,
battle axe. He bent his bow of steel and let fly an arrow, which rebounded from her hide as if it had been shot against a brazen wall.
Wow.
She, enraged, ran as swift as the wind at him, who, seeing his arrows of no effect, had prepared with his battle axe to receive her, which he did with such a blow upon her head as to make her recoil. But she, recovering, more enraged at such treatment, ran full tilt with her sharp horns at Guy's breast, which only dented his armour and made him stagger. Laying on many blows, at last he hit her under the ear, which was the only place that was penetrable, where, making a deep wound, the blood gushed out amain, and he, following his blows in the same place, made so many gashes that with loud roaring she fell down and, weltering in a stream of blood, died.
Ugh.
So I should have done a content warning there about killing a big cow with an axe.
Yeah, I mean, he's made killing a cow with an axe seem quite heroic. And maybe the cow had a chance of winning.
We haven't time for it now, but there's also the time that Guy of Warwick beat a big Dane. Giant. An actual Dane, not a great Dane.
Not a great Dane, no.
One of the worst.
Wow.
With the help of a friendly crow.
A Danish person.
Yes, a giant called Colbrand. This is at the time when the Danes were rife in England. Yeah, as we discussed a few weeks ago, that they were the baddies.
They were regarded as the baddies at that time. What a violent and horrible story, James.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But at least he got knighted.
No, he got to be knighted and he married that woman. And then
it worked out nicely for him.
Just for a brief synopsis, the rest of his life, he felt really guilty for all the violence that he'd done and became a hermit and studied with St. Dubritius.
Ooh.
Dubritius? Near Coventry. And then he was called out of retirement, I think, because of the big day.
They called him out of retirement because he used to be the best.
Yeah.
Is it the classic scene?
Yes. It is. Guy of Warwick. Haven't heard that name in a long time. I'm Bloke of Warwick. Guy of Warwick? You mean old bloke of Warwick? Okay, one last case, but I need a comedy sidekick. I need a friendly crow that's going to fly around the giant's head. And as it says in this version, help to confuse it, which implies that Guy himself was also doing some confusion in this battle. Perhaps going, what crow? What you want about? What are you on about, mate? There's no crow here. But yes, so he defeated that. And then he went back and became a hermit again. And he used to beg alms at his ex-wife. Well, not ex-wife, his wife's door. And she never recognised him. And then I think one day he gave her his ring and she recognised him. And then he went home and died.
Wow. That's, guys, learn to express yourselves.
Yeah, that
and it's
really...
not, it isn't just people called Guy that applies to.
No, but this... definitely this guy.
Yeah, we've got to start opening up Guy to Guy. Maybe this should just be a podcast just for people called Guy who are oppressed.
Mm.
Talk to your friends. Maybe a crow. A helpful crow.
Yeah, the friendly crow. Well, would you score it?
Well, yeah, I would. I mean, you asked in a weird way, but yes.
Yeah,
I'd score it.
All right, let's go. First cat.
What's the first category?
Names.
Names, Guy of Warwick, hilariously generic.
Yes.
This guy. Get a load of Guy of Warwick. Yeah, great.
J. Harvey Bloom.
It sounds like he assassinated an American president. Great name.
The author of Folklore, Old Customs and Superstitions in Shakespeare Land.
Yeah, Shakespeare Land, great name.
And Shakespeare's Garden.
I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but I would really love it if there were a theme park called Barbara Cartland. Sure, I've said it before, but I just think it'd be great. Yes. Riding around in carts.
Bevis of Hampton, yep. The Horn Child, or Kinghorn.
I forgot about the Horn Child / Kinghorn. Yes.
Havelock the Dane.
Great names. Oh, they're all bangers, James.
Yeah, come on.
It's 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Next category.
Supernatural, then.
Oh, well, okay. I might have concluded that a very large cow was produced by natural means.
Mm. When a mummy very large cow and a daddy very large cow love each other very much?
Yep. When they do, yes. They might produce a very large offspring. However, we know this cow was in the possession of a giant. And we know the anger of this cow was caused by a witch. So that's two supernatural entities.
I mean, there's a later giant as well.
Giant Dane, yes.
Got some big Dane energy. I don't think I want to claim a friendly crow to be supernatural, because I'd like to believe that perhaps they crow among us.
I'd love to be pals with a crow.
So I don't want that admitted as supernatural evidence.
Okay. In that case, I'm afraid I think it's a 3. Because we've got a supernatural cow, a supernatural witch, and a supernatural giant, and an ordinary crow best friend.
Yes.
Who's a fun sidekick who does wisecracks.
A humdrum crow chum.
Yeah, he'll say things like, "Ah, flutter my feathers."
Ah. Oh, what a guy. The crow. Okay, then. So, third category. It's no animals were harmed in the making of this folklore.
Okay. Bold choice of a category.
Perhaps some animals were harmed.
I put it to you that one animal was very badly harmed.
Yeah.
At least.
Almost a Great Dane. And any cows or horses that had nibbled on Stinking Willie.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
And in terms of the bones that are hanging up, we've got loads. We've got multiple potential boars and narwhals dead.
And some dragons. Miscellaneous dragons.
Dragons didn't even get mentioned, but they're dead.
Yeah.
In fact, the crow sidekick is the only character to come out of this unscathed.
Yeah, could on him.
So are you revising this category to some animals were harmed?
Some animal, most animals were, most animal, were hurt during the making of this folklore.
That's annoying, because by choosing a category which is weird, slightly irritatingly vague,
go on.
You forced me to give you a high score. I have to give you 5 out of 5 for most animals. Because if you'd gone with animals were harmed, I could have given you a 4.
Because of the
but for most animals
armed.
Were armed.
Yes.
It was a 5. You've gamed the system, Shakeshaft.
Yes. Okay, final category then. Let's just talk it out, guys.
Yeah.
Guy.
Come on, guys.
Come on, Guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
Little folk. Come on.
Open up.
Let's open up. Yeah.
Don't express your emotions with violence to, as mentioned, dragons, boars, cows, Germans. Or Danes.
If you are a cow who's being milked by a sarcastic witch.
Yes.
there are ways of dealing with that using our words.
Yes. Tell a grown-up or a teacher.
Or the giant that owns you.
Or the giant that owns you. Say, she's got a sieve, mate.
You can say, excuse me, stop milking me into that sieve. It's a sieve.
Mm. She's taking the mickey.
Or a colander. A colander's no better.
Yeah.
Don't bottle that anger up until you swell to an even larger size and then take it out on the people of Warwick.
Mm, and go on a rampage, a big cow rampage.
Don't rampage in Warwick.
Yeah.
And that's a great, great category, James. I also think it's a really important message.
I think so too, actually.
It is a really important message.
Humans and big cows alike.
My score for it, though, is going to be 2 because I think that's going to really annoy you. I just want to see how you deal with that situation. Think of it as me coming in and milking you with a sieve.
I'm just going to bottle it up.
Yep.
And then go on a rampage.
A two for us for that category you worked so hard on. There it is. 1-2. I might even make it a 1.
You're going to swell up to the size of a transit van.
I mean, James, you already are the size of a giant James Shakeshaft.
Exactly.
And it's all rage inside.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take that too, and I am going to bottle it right up until one day I go on a rampage around Warwick.
Get it right down there, James. James, is something wrong?
Fine. No, fine.
Okay.
There's a little addendum. So the bit where I got the stuff about him blanking his wife for years.
Yeah.
I got from a Dictionary of British Folk Tales compiled by Catherine M. Briggs.
There's a little bit of, sorry to be terribly well-read, there's a little bit of the Odyssey in that, the husband yes. who comes back and isn't recognised by his wife. I have to say that, otherwise the listener will be thinking, this is a little bit like the Odyssey. Have these people never read a flipping book? Yes.
It's like people didn't watch an 80s cartoon.
Does that happen? I've not got to the end of Ulysses 31.
The one episode I had that my nan had recorded for me on VHS was the episode where they go back to ancient Greece and he takes the place and fires the arrow through the things and whatnot.
Yes, yeah. To Father. Impress his wife, Persephone.
Persephone.
Persephone. I know it's pronounced Persephone.
For what?
Just trying to irritate well-read listeners.
But the reason I bring that up is because the way Catherine M. Briggs compiles the tales, at the end, she lists the various motifs.
Very nice.
That are within the story, so you can just kind of cross-reference them with other ones. These include decision of victory by single combat between army leaders, husband abandons wife to become ascetic, forgotten wife gives food to beggar, identification by ring, and helpful crow.
The classic category of helpful crow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be looking up all the rest of them.
Wonderful. I look forward to more helpful crow stories.
What a guy.
What a guy he
what
was.
What a guy. So yeah, that was Guy of Warwick.
Good story. Nice little tale.
I'm sure we'll hear more about them another time. But in the meantime, what would the listener do if they wanted to hear more about other things?
I imagine they'd fall into a state of panic, James. They could call their butler to bring the internet to them on a salver.
Yes.
And log on to patreon.com/lawmenpod, wherein lie bonus episodes.
Yes.
And other goodies.
And access to the Law Folk Discord.
Law Folk Discord.
Chat with other law folk. Yeah, so do that.
A lot of corny lines because they like corn.
Yes, they do.